You're listening to the Customer Centric Show with Mel Telesikin, where we talk with successful business owners and experts to share smart ways to attract more customers, profits, and freedom by thinking about customers first. Now, here's your host, Mel Telesikin.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the show. On today's episode, I'm joined by Jason Mallowan. Jason is a photographer, more specifically, a headshot and portrait specialist. Through his businesses, Portrait Store and Jason Mallowan Photography, Jason creates photographs and imagery, headshots and otherwise, to help businesses create an emotional connection with their clients or customers. He's very passionate about creating powerful, connected imagery and is not shy to tell everyone about it. So it's great to have you with me on the show today, Jason.
Hey, Mel.
Let's get straight into it. Can you share with me an example of a business that you believe is customer-centric?
I mean, I'm from the States, and the most customer, I mean, everything's kind of a customer-centric there, seemingly. But, I mean, I used to be a waiter, and honestly, everything depends, you know, every dollar that you make depends on how customer-centric you are. So that's just kind of what I've always come up with.
Right. And so do you see the difference that, say, other people say they see when they come to Australia in that restaurant scenario?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, here it just seems like people are doing a job. And in the States, it seems like people are, I don't know, part of the job, like they're part of the place.
Do you think it's because it's tip based and there's that very minimal wage?
Yeah. Oh, well, I mean, absolutely. But that model, it attracts the people who know they can bring the best experience because they know that best experience is going to mean more dollars in their pocket. So it's kind of a self-perpetuating kind of loop thing.
Right. Yeah. Because it's been brought up here and it's a very hotly contested argument whether it would be more beneficial. But in terms of culture here, that the tipping just wouldn't go over. So interesting. Yeah. It's a constantly, an area that constantly we compare, in Australia and the States, especially in that hospitality based businesses in bars and clubs and otherwise. So ongoing. Absolutely. Now, Jason, can you give us some background? You said you're a waiter. So what was it that led you from being a waiter to the business of photography and starting your more recent business, the Portrait Store?
Well, I mean, I was a waiter back in, you know, just out of high school. So, you know, that was like a million years ago. But my first life was in theater, actually, my first love, my first passion. And then after a bunch of years of that all over the US, I got into outdoor education, you know, like Outward Bound. So we would take students out into the wilderness, all of all ages, for 2, 3, 4 weeks at a time. And, you know, that was working with people very far out of their comfort zones and not just creating a situation where they can survive, but where they can actually, you know, grow as people. So that was a very kind of intense learning process for me, as well as teaching the whole time. And then I did that for 8 years all over the world, East Coast, West Coast, US, Central, South America, the Caribbean, and then Malaysia. And then I just had to stop. I was done.
And so you were facilitating these camps, were you?
Yeah, they were these wilderness intensive programs where, you know, everything was on your back. My specialty, because everybody in this outdoor ed field kind of has a specialty. So people would have hard skill specialties. Mine were soft skills. So I was more interested in communication and team building and leadership, basically. That's what I was always brought on board for. So yeah, like it was more of the humanity side of it all
Right. And so were there any opportunities? Is that where photography began for you? Was about capturing in those environments?
I wish there was some kind of sensible transition that I could make. But literally, I decided, well, I'm done with this. I think I'll be a photographer next.
Wow. I was sure there'd be a connection there. Seeing your Outback Australia photographs, I always thought it would have been, yeah, that absolute tie-in. But no.
No, I didn't even own a camera.
Wow. Okay.
I met an Australian woman, that's how I ended up here. And then I bought a camera and set about becoming a photographer.
Right. And how long ago was this?
Well, that was, 6.5 years ago.
Wow. And things have massively changed for you then.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. Okay. I started out in advertising. That was the line of photography I thought I was going to be in.
Yeah.
And then over time, my priorities just kind of shifted. I guess most importantly, when I was doing the outdoor education and working with people on these like super intense transformational experiences, you know, I really felt like I was having a super positive impact on the world. Like I was really doing something of true value.
Yeah, I can see that.
When I got started in advertising photography, I was kind of just selling my soul and saw other people, other photographers that I was looking up to, just basically doing the same. So I had to find some avenue within photography that allowed me to have an impact and do something meaningful.
Great. And so were portraits your first port of call, or was it scenery shots, or?
Well, I mean, I've always.
Beyond the advertising?
I'm a people person.
Yeah.
And even within the advertising, I realized, you know, I really connect with people very easily, very well, very quickly. So that was kind of the obvious progression. I'm going to go and shoot portraits.
Right.
And it just kind of developed from there.
Right. Because now Portrait Store is about proper headshots for professionals, essentially, isn't it? Is that right?
Yeah, that's exactly it.
Yeah.
So what I eventually found was doing these portraits, I realized that the single biggest hurdle was people's discomfort, was clients' discomfort. And the photography part was kind of the easy part. I knew how to make a great photo, but I didn't know how to make a great photo out of you. Mm. I didn't know how to get you to get past that speed bump. Mm. And that was kind of the mission I started, was how do I make this the most, not just comfortable, but even pleasant experience that can get me the results that I know I want.
Right. Because it's one of the most uncomfortable things to stand in front of a camera and be extremely self-conscious and know that you want a great outcome as the person, you know, on the other side of the lens. It's extremely, it's just unusual experience. And so for it to try and get a natural appearance, it's probably extremely difficult.
It is, if you don't take care of all of those moments. It's literally a string of moments. And in each one of these moments, I've created something in the process that it almost neutralizes it, and it allows people to go, okay, and move on to the next one. And then each step along the way, there's another, and a lot of it is the words that we say at Portrait Store. A lot of it is some of it's the way we even have our equipment set up. It's the way we set up your expectations for what's about to happen. It's the way we give you information. It's the way we hold back information at times. It's really, it's honestly, there's probably like a whole PhD of psychology that would happen just in the studio alone.
So it's based on years of you being able to find a bit of a method that what works with the majority of your clients, or because people are different. Like some people are going to respond to humor or, you know, to try to get them feel comfortable. Other people won't respond to that. Is there a same method for everybody, or is it, you know, because when it comes to then staff having to try to replicate this, because you're not always behind the lens now, Jason, what, how do you then replicate that? So there's a few questions in there, sorry. But
yeah. That's okay. Yeah, I mean, so that was the single biggest question when I first attempted to take it all out of my head, because not so long ago, I thought I was a special, you know, unicorn of a creature that could accomplish this, you know, magical feat every time. So I was like, all right, well, now I need to see if I can get this out of my head and put it into somebody else's and see if we get the exact same results. And we do. It's crazy. There's been some tweaks for sure. As I look at it from the outside, but man, it just works.
So can you give us an example? What's one of the things that you do to help people relax into things to get that authentic shot?
Yeah.
I'm sure there's a combination. Is there one you can share with us?
Absolutely. Well, see, because it is a bit of a flow on effect. One leads to the next, to the next. But there's one moment right before the process, or right after the process has been explained in a very simple three-step kind of way. Mm-hmm. The next thing we say is, okay, so this part is all going to be thrown away. We're just going to find the right shape and the right position and the right posture for you. So none of these images matter. We're not going to worry about your expression. We're not going to worry about anything. We're just going to find the right shape and then move on from there. All the good stuff that comes last. So we actually set it up. So there's zero expectation to try to get a great photo right off the bat. Mm. And that's been one of the biggest pieces of feedback I've gotten from people is that, oh my God, you guys just say, look, for the next 15 minutes, we're going to throw all these away. And that relaxed me into it. I wasn't worried.
Mm, yeah. So it's just completely taking that pressure off.
That's right. Yeah. And unless you do it in a way that's 100% beneficial to the client in front of you, you're not going to get your results. Honestly, it wasn't as customer centric as, like, I didn't do it from the front end. I need to make this the best for the customer. I realized it coming from, I need to get the best outcome for me and the client. And then how do I do that is by being customer centric, I guess, you know?
Mm. Okay. So then when it
kind of had to reverse engineer.
You had to reverse engineer it, yeah. And so when it comes to then you explaining this methodology to the people that you bring on to take the shots, is it a matter of them witnessing you do this with a variety of clients and then they sort of see how it unfolds?
Yeah, so one of the things that we've actually done in the process and in the manual itself is actually mapped out what we're saying – why we're saying it, and what the customer is usually thinking and feeling at a particular moment. So in very early on in the process, when I have my photographer explain the process, they tend to want to over explain. And I had to get them to say, to not do that. I had to say, no, we actually need to say very simply, this process is three steps. The first step is the range of motion, which is just your shape and posture. Mm-hmm. Then the second step is connection, and the third step is expression. And just leave it at that, because in the very beginning, I know that people are slightly overwhelmed, and the more you say, the less they're going to hear. And then they're worried that A, they're uncomfortable, and B, they didn't hear anything you said.
Yes.
So, you know, we had to build all this super intentional stuff into the process just to make it work.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, can you give me an example of some businesses that you've worked with that has allowed them to better engage or better connect with their clients? I know that you've done shots for clothing and otherwise. Do you have any examples that you could share that really have had that impact for businesses?
I guess one of my clients that I've had for a really long time is Oxfam.
Yes.
And I have been shooting portraits for Oxfam all over Australia, mainly for the Close the Gap campaign. And my images have, they've ended up in Parliament. They've ended up all over the country. They've ended up in, really, really bringing some much needed attention to the campaign.
Well, can you explain the campaign really quickly so that we can sort of have sure. the context?
The Close the Gap campaign is about highlighting Indigenous health inequality,
right,
and trying to restore that because according to the statistics, Indigenous Australians have much higher incidences of all kinds of diseases like diabetes and things, and then also have a much shorter life expectancy
yes.
than white Australians.
Yes.
So it's about trying to close that gap. And as far as Oxfam is concerned, they need everyone's attention from the public through to Parliament. Mm. And the way to get people's attention, at least from my perspective, is by humanizing
yes.
the situation. You can't tell someone that the incidence rate of diabetes is 4 times. Nobody cares about that. Yes, that's sobering. I don't know if those statistics are right. I'm just throwing numbers out.
Sure.
But if you want to touch someone emotionally, you have to humanize a statistic or a demographic or whatever.
Yes.
So.
And those images are really powerful, actually, because I've seen some of them. Some of the Indigenous men photographs I know that I've seen when I've in your LinkedIn profile, and they are really outstanding. They really do and also the style of photography that you take is that it's so zoned in on the face and there's, I guess, all those nonverbal things that can be evoked from an image.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, like I said, I think I'm saving the world. So I always approach whatever I'm doing with empowerment, positive self-image. It's strengthening, connecting, meaningful, intentional. These are my guiding principles. And if an image doesn't have that, it doesn't win.
And so is it about the eyes? Is it about the intensity that you get through somebody's eyes, or does that come in different ways?
It comes in different ways. I mean, yeah, the intensity in the eyes is certainly a part of it. But you can have intensity without it being balanced by a humanity. And the intensity kind of gives more credibility to a portrait, but the humanity makes it connect, makes it land. So there's a constant balance that always happens. And I always tell people when we're shooting, it's this constant push pull. You need this polarity to kind of always be in place. And if it's too much push, you push people away, too much sure. intensity or whatever. Yes. If it's too much pull, it appears too needy and then it loses its credibility. So there's this line that you kind of have to straddle.
Mm. Mm. And so how many photographs would you take in one sitting then, for instance, with those the Indigenous Australians' portraits? Are you taking thousands of shots to get that money shot, that value shot that you're talking about?
Well, yeah, we do. It's tricky. It's tricky. It's I don't know that I could answer that one across the board,
but
because
it varies,
the communities that we've like literally from quite remote communities out in Kakadu to very urban suburban communities, you know, CEOs of Indigenous organizations and things in Adelaide and Canberra. So it really varies.
Yeah. Is it something, Jason, though, that you sort of know that you would have that shot while you're there with the camera, or is it a case of going back, putting it on the PC and looking through them? Like, do you normally get that feeling while you're shooting that you you do? Okay.
Oh, I know. Yeah. Oh, I know when it's right. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I know what I want and I know when I've got it. And the only thing especially when I'm out with on those kinds of shoots, is just wondering if I got it in focus.
Okay.
Sometimes I'm shooting on challenging settings in the studio, and when we're working with, you know, portrait clients, we always shoot tethered into the computer. See, this is another example of just giving the clients the optimal opportunity to get it right. Like, we shoot into the computer, so you see each image coming up as we go.
Right.
So that way I'm only referring to that because I know I got it in focus, but that constant feedback allows you to step your game up as a photographer, and for the client, it allows them to get instant feedback on what's working, what's not, and know that they're confidently moving in the better direction.
Okay, great. So they can see it themselves as well as you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Fantastic. Now I'm going to shift gears a little bit and ask you some questions around when businesses want to take photographs of their products, so inanimate things. What do you say to the argument around, look, just get a photo out there, you can shoot it on your mobile phone, versus, you know, getting professional shots for your products to, you know, market them in social media or otherwise?
Well, I mean, an exceptional image has infinitely more credibility than you know, a crap image, whether it's a portrait or a product. We don't really do products. I used to back in the day when I was first starting out, but it's a matter of you know what it really is. To me, it's a matter of respecting the audience enough to deliver them an image that is of a quality and standard that equals what your business stands for.
Yeah. Okay. I like that.
I was in a workshop the other day. I guess this is just the analogy. They were saying, you know, get your sales script right, because you should respect your customer's time enough not to waste it.
Yes.
By refining your sales script. And honestly, it's the same thing in a visual medium.
No, that makes sense. Now, sure. Let's talk about a little bit about your business itself. There's lots of people like yourself in photography, and they are at varying stages of their business. Do you have any advice for people who are in that business of what they could be doing to improve their business or to be able to get some consistency of customers from your experience?
Yeah. I mean, the one thing that has kind of led to the everything else kind of changes that have come about, it is really picking a niche, picking your spot that you're best at, and just doing it better than anybody. Getting to know the people that want that thing and being able to communicate that thing better than anybody. Yeah. And being able to deliver more value around that one thing.
Yeah. So if for, whether it be wedding photography or family portraits or
absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. And just really niche down. How far down do you think people should niche to really corner a market?
I mean, the way it looks to me is the farther you go, the better it gets.
Okay.
I haven't seen the point where I go, whoa, whoa, easy, Jason, let's back up a bit. We're only taking photos of maybe individual eyeballs. but you know what? There would be a freaking market for that too.
Perhaps.
No, there would be. It would be a medical application. And there would be somebody out there in the world that takes super mega high res images of just eyeballs, and they're out there making squillions, I bet.
Yeah, well, if that's your specialty and you do that well and that's where your passion lies, go for it, Jason says. Excellent. Jason, tell me, how do you reach your potential market then? So is it lots of word of mouth? Are you marketing and advertising your business? Is it social? What are you doing?
There's a couple different things. There's no advertising really. Portrait Store is kind of brand new. I've really just launched it in January, and it's really going well. But it started out mainly by word of mouth. Lots of referrals. People freaking love it. So that's the biggest part of it. From there, I've been able to go out and develop some really kind of key partnerships. I kind of learned early on that it's much smarter to go and build one brilliant partnership than it is to try to get one client. And I guess that's pretty obvious, but you know, we learn these things as we need to.
No, it's true. It's true, isn't it? Actually, when I think about, say, the wedding photography market, I have a friend who is a wedding celebrant. And so she works together with a makeup artist. They all obviously have tried out each other's services or seen each other's services and then now work together to create packages and things like that. And it definitely helps them reach a broader market by having those partnerships. Yeah. Okay. So that's a big part of your strategy.
Yeah, huge. And then I guess the other piece is content. I'll put out a video or an article on LinkedIn or a blog or whatever. And that really drives people in. It's fascinating. Mm-hmm. One article on LinkedIn alone a couple of weeks ago brought like 8 clients in.
Can I ask, was that the article about why your forehead is – why is my forehead cropped out of the image? Is that the one?
No, that wasn't the one. It was the one – it's the one called The Dangers of a Good Headshot.
Right. Yes. Okay. I did see that one. And so creating that content and asking those questions and talking to it is what's generating interest and then people are taking that next step.
It really does. It really does. And then, you know, to have the content's pretty brilliant because then the next time, well, for it happened today. It's a perfect example. I was speaking to the Association of Executive Assistants today, and we were going to do some projects together. And she's like, cool, well, I'm going to put an email out and send some feelers out and see what kind of response I get. I was like, cool. Tell you what, take this link and this link. This is an article. Well, that's a video, and send that out with it and see what kind of response you get. You know, like just to have that content is
so
brilliant.
It adds weight to what they're sending out. And so when you talk about content, is that generally based around your learnings, or is it around frequently asked questions, or is it a variety of things?
It's a small variety, but yeah, learnings, frequently asked questions. They're two key points. A lot of what we're doing with Portrait Store is about changing the standard by which Australians judge a headshot and what Australians expect as a minimum from a headshot. So it's a lot of it's kind of about the bigger idea of why we're doing this.
Yes.
And how we're approaching it. Because the main message for us is that, you know, it's not about you. If you're coming in for a headshot, this is not really about you. What we're doing is creating, co-creating an experience for the viewers.
Right, for the people that you're essentially trying to connect with.
Yeah, for your customers, for your audience. Mm. It's about creating an experience for them whereby they get to collaborate in the sense of we know they're going to look at it and run it through their biases and filters and judgments. So let's give them something to work with.
Right. Okay.
Let's give them something interesting.
Yeah, yeah. That makes perfect sense. And I did see how you have actually put sort of someone whose portrait you had done recently with their previous one, just to be able to compare and say, look, this is, can you see how this can have more resonance with your potential clients or your current clients, right?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. That's the danger of a good headshot. A good headshot is when it's just a good headshot. A great headshot is when you've gone and created something for your audience.
Right. I like it. I like it, Jason. Now, we always finish off the show by asking our guests what they believe is a top tip to start attracting more customers and then what they could be doing to achieve more freedom in their business as well.
Yeah, right. God, it's this is. I don't want this to sound trite, but honestly, there's nothing more important to me and to my businesses than and communicating my businesses and our value than being truly authentic. If you try to be anything else, anything other than 100% you, you know, your audience is way too savvy these days. They will see through that. And you won't recover from that or may not recover from that. You know, if you're well respected, you'll be forgiven once or twice, but you can't, you've got to be authentic.
And I guess that's about building trust and people being able to then feel not only comfortable with you, but then to be able to be comfortable enough to refer you.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, great. And what about more freedom? I know that you've brought on people at the Portrait Store. Is that the key to giving you more freedom in your business?
The freedom it gives me is the freedom to go do other work.
Right. But that's okay. That's brilliant. More freedom in some way that it's expanding your business and you can take on other opportunities, right?
Yeah. It allows me to go and develop more relationships. It allows me to go and create more content. It allows me to go out and you know, connect with the people that matter. Customers, partners, suppliers, you know, it's not really just about being customer centric or even if it is, like, to me, my staff has equal weight.
Yeah.
You know, my staff are my customers as well.
Absolutely, Jason. 100%. I'm with you there. And actually, I wanted to ask you earlier, and I did, it was remiss of me, then how do you select those people then? Because they can follow your processes, they can understand the value in how you approach things, but how do you actually make that initial good choice? What is it? Do you have any tips?
Man, I'm still pretty new to this, and it's all a little bit nebulous. So I don't have any advice necessarily. Yeah. The one thing that has worked for me, however, especially in finding photographers, is about finding the right person, the right type of person, and then giving them the skills. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
There's no way to find a person with skills and teach them how to build rapport.
Sure. So it's probably better for them to come to you with less experience. Is that what you're saying? So that they could be taught your way?
I actually have two right now. One was a photographer, has been a photographer, is a photographer, a passionate semi-pro for many years. And one is a student and an actor. And had never really used a camera. And they're both shooting for me. And they're both the right kind of person. Mm. They connect. Mm. They connect with people.
Mm. And it helps, too, that you've had that theater background, right? You'd have something in common with someone who is an actor. It makes sense that you're sort of similar type of people, perhaps.
Yeah, well, interestingly, we have not worked with actors at all. Everything has been built around executives and entrepreneurs.
Mm.
Because in the industry, a lot of headshot photographers will show their wonderful portfolio of images, and they're all actors. So kind of our magic is being able to bring that kind of energy through with regular people, I say.
Mm-hmm.
We are developing a product for actors right now, and that'll be coming up in the future.
Yeah.
But
because that's my next question. What's coming up that you're excited about? There's more than that.
Yeah, there's a few things. We're starting to do some campaigns around the business, and the first thing is we're developing a product for actors, and we're just going to run it once a quarter.
Excellent, Jason. Look, thank you very much for coming on the show today. Where can people find you if they want to find out about Portrait Store, Jason Malamud Photography? Where can they follow you?
So there's portraitstore.com.au. There's jasonmalowin.com. I'm on LinkedIn. I'm on Instagram, of course. I'm all over Facebook. We're pretty easy to find.
Excellent, excellent. So I'll put all those details for our listeners in the show notes. Jason, really great to chat with you today. Very different topic to what we've spoken about for our listeners. Something very different today. So really great to hear your passion for photography, your business has evolved, and some great tips in there. Thanks for joining us, Jason.
Oh, thanks, Mel. This has been loads of fun. Really appreciate it.
Thanks.
Thanks for listening to the Customer Centric Show. For additional smart ways to attract more customers, profits, and freedom, head on over to the website www.customercentricshow.com.